Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lily Beth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now, Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host Lottie and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with the lovely Skye from Mummy's Mental today. Hello Skye, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. Could
Thanks
you start by
me.
Telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so I'm a mum of two. I have a boy who's 3.5 and a girl who is 7 months. I'm from Essex. I think it's funny how mums, when they introduce themselves, generally, that you say, oh, tell me about yourself, and you say, I'm a mum of, and you say about your children instead of about yourself. Like, how did I introduce myself before I had children?
I am.
I'm Skye, and I like chocolate.
I don't know. It's like, it, like, becomes your identity, doesn't it,
it
when
does.
You become a mum?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what did I say before?
I actually don't know, yeah. But yeah, I'm an emotional well-being advocate for both parents and children, and I've started making journals. Well, I've always made journals, but I've started giving them to other people now as well. So, yeah.
And they're amazing, might I add.
Thank you.
I have one myself.
Did you have a
wonderful
look through?
I've had a look through. I've started using it. It's brilliant. Honestly, you guys that are listening, you need this journal in your life. It is fabulous. Just to help with like mindset, and especially after like a really shitty day with the kids, it's almost like you can just kind of like vomit your mind into the journal.
Verbal vomit.
And then it's like, close the book. Done. Okay, right now, like move on, go to sleep.
On.
So
yeah.
I love it. Well done.
Thanks.
You're so welcome. Yeah. So you kind of talk lots on your page about like mental health and all of that, and could you kind of start by filling us in with your mental health journey and why you've come to talk about it so much?
I mean,
God, look on your face and you're like, where do I start?
Have you got 33 years? Because that's when it starts, isn't it?
But yeah.
It's that's a really hard question to answer because, yeah, it's a lifelong thing. I mean, I mean, in terms of maybe first wanting to take action on it, I was sort of late teens and I just knew something had to give. So I actually spoke to my mum about it, and I said to my mum, we're quite open, me and my mum, maybe too much, I don't know. We chat a lot. And she got me some sessions with a trainee for cheap. With a trainee CBT therapist or a therapist. And that changed my life hugely. And then after that, I did have a little bit of hypnosis. Did not work. But it did make me realise that it wasn't hypnosis I needed, it was counselling. So I had counselling, and yeah, that was fantastic. And then I just became obsessed with self-development, bettering my life, manifesting, gratification, like all of it. Self-help books, like, just came, you know, really focused on it, and I was in such a good place. And then I just kind of coasted in, like, you know, you have your ups and downs, don't you? So just kind of coasted in a fairly good place. Things were going well. And then I had my son. And yeah, a whole new layer of onions came off. And was like, oh, I'm not as okay as I thought I was. So that's my journey. So I got counselling again, and again just really hit hard on what, you know, helped me. I was going to say fixed me, but that's not right. What helped me last time. And it's just a whole new journey, because life has changed as well. Like, society, like, everything's changing. So what worked for me back then wouldn't necessarily now. So yeah, so I got a little bit of counselling again, which was horrific. Because the counsellor was terrible. And I complained about him, and I was really brave and was honest and said, right, I can't do this anymore. It's really, I don't want to do this anymore. And this was during lockdown, so it was all over the phone. So I rang the company up and said, I don't want to do this anymore. It's not working out. And they said, oh, okay, could we maybe try another counsellor? And I was like, oh, and I just, even though I knew everything, and I was like, not knew everything, oh, so, you know it all. But I knew that I should have asked for another therapist. I knew that something was up. I should have known all this. I should have been wiser. And but I was in such a thick fog of everything that I didn't. And and they changed. And then it turns out he actually got sacked because I wasn't the only one who he was actually making worse rather than better. And then they got me a new one, and she was wonderful. And then the obsession has just continued, and I realised that the obsession back then was like more of a passion than like an obsession. It was actually like, this is actually what I'm probably meant to be doing with my life, rather than just something that I'm doing from, do you know what I mean? So so that's the journey. That's the journey.
It's crazy, isn't it, how like you can literally feel like you're plodding along and doing okay, and then like you have children and it just turns your world upside down. Like,
yeah,
triggers. I feel like that's a lot of people's stories, to be honest, because
like,
I was like the same.
Awakens.
Yeah, I was exactly the same. Like, I didn't think I had any like mental health problems up until I had kids. Like I
lot of people
with
say
eating
that,
disorders.
Don't they?
Yeah. I'd suffered with eating disorders, so I knew I had some like need to control and things like that. But I didn't realize like that I had ADHD, that I like was prone to depression and anxiety because of that. And then I had kids, and it just like, it just made all
highlights
these things
it.
Come to the surface. And I was like, oh shit, like I need to actually work on my brain a little bit, don't I? And then
well, that's
it's
the thing
like,
with the brain, it's like a bit of a chicken and the egg thing, because like you need to work on everything else for your brain to be healthy. But you don't want to do that until your brain is okay. Like exercise. I hate exercising. And when I'm down, it's the last thing I feel like doing. But I know it's going to make me better.
I know.
So it's like which one do you work to?
Yeah, like they say, like, do the things that make you feel good when you're feeling low. And, like, the things that make me feel good are, like, putting a happy playlist on. But when you're feeling like shit, the last thing you want to do is start playing, like...
You want to get Adele on and
your
drown your sorrows.
Come on, get happy. And it's like, I'm not happy, fuck off. Like, but you kind of just have to do it and like force yourself to do it.
Yeah, it depends what stage you're at within it, because sometimes you just can't. Sometimes you have to get help.
Definitely.
In whatever way that is. And then other times you are really low, but not so low that you can't give yourself that push to.
Definitely.
And it's not a black and white thing, is it?
No, it's very grey. There's all lots of grey. But do you think your mental health journey has kind of impacted your decisions on how to parent your children?
Oh, yes, definitely has. I mean, I honestly think that emotional well-being is the most important thing to pass down to our kids.
Yeah.
Because they could be the smartest, the funniest, the richest, the fittest, the most gorgeous person alive. But what good is that if they don't want to be alive?
Yeah.
I know that sounds dramatic, but I literally think it should be at the very top of everything, because they could have all of these other skills, all of these other you know, things that's doing well in life, but what does it matter if they're not fulfilling their life? And I don't know, like living an unfulfilled life. I just think emotional intelligence should be like right at the top of something that you learn and teach and pass down.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, you know, they have to be happy all the time. You know, people often say, oh, I just want my kids to be happy. But that's not actually realistic. And I get the kind message that's coming with, but that's not how humans work. It would be better to say that you want them to be more rounded or well-balanced, or because when you say, oh, I just want to be happy, then when you're not, you feel like you're failing, and it's literally not human to be happy all the time. And it's just accepting all of those emotions and having that acceptance of them all and being able to regulate and be aware of them and everything. Yeah. And I think my own mental health has hugely impacted my opinion on my kids, because I want them, all feelings are valid here, and I want them to feel like that, and I don't think they can achieve anything else in life without having emotional well-being.
Yeah, so definitely. I don't know. And I think we're like one of the first generations to actually really like focus on this, because I know in like generations before, like very much from a young age, you're basically told like just to shut up, and like if you're like struggling with big emotions, they're seeing that as being naughty or misbehaving, rather than it being a case of you're not knowing what to do with your emotions, you're not knowing what it is that you're feeling.
And I imagine you with ADHD definitely had an experience of that.
Well, I didn't actually know I had ADHD until adulthood. Well, until last year.
What was you told you was? Just naughty or chatty or...?
Yeah, just a bit like away with the fairies. Like a bit of a dreamer, and like just you know, always daydreaming, always distracted, always like forgetting things, skipping from one thing to another, like just a bit like all over the place. I was just like called that all the time. But also I was a massive high achiever at school, because I masked it, and that was also quite difficult, because I was actually struggling. Like, I knew that I was struggling, but no one else did, because looking at my grades, they're like, oh, she's fine, she's doing great, like, yay. Yeah. But my grades were shit, so, like, I mean, were good, but I was feeling shit inside. I was just trying so hard. And when it got to actual, like, adulthood and going to uni, I was like, surely this is not right. Like, surely everyone's brain can't be like this. We're the first generation to actually look at that and be like, okay, so what is that person feeling? Like, why are they struggling to regulate their emotions? Is there a reason behind it? And for kids, obviously their age is a massive thing behind it. And I know now, like, my daughter, like, I definitely think she's got ADHD, because... God, if she hasn't, I'll be surprised, and I'll be like, okay, so what is this then? What is this? Because her emotions are insane. Like, she has the biggest emotions, and she's like me. She flips from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, to another, and I cannot keep up. But these big emotions that she has, we could quite easily turn around and be like, she's just being naughty, or, you know, she needs a time out, she needs this, she needs that. She's just being disruptive. But actually, I know full well that this girl does not know how to regulate her emotions, because I still bloody don't know how to regulate my emotions. I, like, when you, with ADHD, when you feel something, you feel it incredibly deeply. So if you're happy, you're happy to the point where you could cry with, like, absolute happiness and gratitude, and like, it's just incredible. But when you're sad, it is like the world is going to end over something that maybe isn't that, like, bad. So I know that because I feel that way, then she's probably feeling that way too. And for a toddler who doesn't know how
with an
to
underdeveloped brain on top of that.
Like, how much harder must that be? I can say to myself, okay, I'm feeling super, super sad right now about this, but tomorrow's a new day, it's going to be better. And I know that I'm feeling super sad because I do feel my emotions, like, a lot more than most. And it's okay. I know I can do X, Y, Z to make myself feel better. Whereas my poor little nearly 5-year-old is like, I'm feeling sad. I don't know why. I don't know what to do with it. And mummy and daddy are cross at me because they think I'm being naughty. Well, no, we're not, because we don't do that. We understand that their emotions are a complex thing. Whereas back in older generations, they probably didn't have and would have been like, you're being naughty, go to your room. And that's that.
Yeah. And deal with it alone until you decide to come out and be happy.
Yeah,
again.
Deal with it alone. That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Like, just the thought of like a little kid having to like work through their emotions on their own in their room just makes me so sad.
I haven't actually spoken about this publicly yet, but a lot's been happening in our family, and so I've been doing an awful lot of research and made it my specialist subject of late in the last however long. But I, long story short, I'm pretty sure that I'm autistic.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, pretty yeah, sure. But yeah. I'm too scared to get diagnosed. I don't want to go to the GP and get diagnosed.
Yeah.
And if my children grow up,
sometimes you just need that like thing. Sometimes you just need that. What's the word? I can't think of the word. You need that like recognition of
it. I know
it,
what you mean. Yeah.
So that you
so
can
I
be
basically
like,
because like I validation. Know that I'm not going to. Yeah. Yeah. So that you don't feel like you're a faker. You're faking it. Or like that you're not. So that someone's confirming. Oh yes, you're right. Actually, you do have autism. You are on the spectrum.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not going to go for. Some, there's actually a lot of in the UK still. Did you see the protest recently?
Which one? There's been so many.
Oh, sorry, the Send Reform one.
No, I haven't actually.
Yeah, it was a big deal. There was quite a lot of people that went and fought for, you know, or people on the spectrum, children, for their educational rights and stuff. Anyway, I've just gone off on a tangent there, but Yeah, so basically I'm just, if anyone asks, or if my children grow up and want to know, I'm just going to tell them that I am autistic, because I'm sure that I am. And so I'm not going to, bother getting diagnosed. Maybe I will one day in the long term. But yeah, there's just some disadvantages
anyway.
To it. That I know, it takes like, I think our waiting list is like 4 years, and that's for children. So,
oh
let alone adults. Yeah, adults are
ours
even longer.
Ours is 2 to 3, so, and I thought that was bad enough. So, God.
So,
but yeah, it has a massive impact our mental health on our kids, doesn't it? And like, I know back, because I suffered with postpartum depression after the birth of my son, and I was so snappy and shouty and just
people don't realise that rage is an irritation is a sign of depression. I think that's another thing that really shocks people, is not knowing actually the signs people think of depression, especially if they've had no symptoms of it before, no experience with it before. I mean, I had experience with the depression before, but this one was so different that I didn't even really know what was going on. And so, I think it's really important to spread awareness of what actually the signs are, because people don't know that like rage and stuff like this is all part of mental health problems.
Yeah, sort of I think issues. When people think of depression when it comes to having babies, they think of the whole like, you're not bonding with your baby, you don't love your baby, just feeling really low and all of that
stuff. You can't
stuff.
Get anything
actually,
done.
I kind of had the opposite, because I was insanely in love with my baby, had a massive like bond with him, wanted to be with him 24/7, didn't want anyone else to hold him. I just wanted to like have him.
And Mama Bear came out and said, no, get away
and
from
then, like,
baby. Yeah.
And then I was just filled with like overstimulation, like rage, anger, irritation, like not towards him, just in general.
Everyone else.
And like, everyone else.
The world.
Like, if my husband even dared to breathe next to me, I was like, oh, I'm going to kill you. And like, my daughter, bless her, I think she took like a large brunt of it as well, because she was like wanting my attention, but I was breastfeeding this baby that just wanted to feed 24/7. And I was like, I can't give you attention right now. And mine kind of manifested in like rage and anger rather than anything else. And I had no idea what was going on. I was like just assuming the lack of sleep and like all of that was just getting to me. But yeah, it turned out it was postnatal depression. And
How did you handle that in the end? It took a lot to deal with it.
And like it was very validating getting the diagnosis, because I thought I was literally losing my mind. The fact that like the tiniest little things would send me into an utter fit of rage. But it was interesting to find out that rage was like a part of it, because then I could be like, okay, this isn't me. This is the depression. I can work on this. I can like get rid of it. And I worked on that, because I don't want to be a shouty mum. I was brought up with a shouty mum, bless her. Like, she didn't know any different, and she really struggled with her mental health as well. And like, I don't want that for my kids. I don't want to shout. I don't want my husband to shout. I want to talk to my kids and understand their emotions and them understand mine as well. So I did tell Bella about it. Like, mummy's struggling with something called depression. And sometimes it means that mummy might get a little bit angry. And I'm sorry if I do. And I will say sorry if I do. Mummy's really trying to get over it. And I think it's just addressing it, really, and just talking about it is what makes it a little bit better.
Definitely. I think that, you know, when... mum guilt is terrible, but I think a lot of the time when people think of, like, gentle parenting... I don't actually like the term gentle parenting that much anymore. I'll tell you for why. It's because people confuse it with permissive parenting. They think that gentle parenting means that you have no boundaries, you're just a pushover, and it's just got a bit of a bad name for itself, which is why you'll find that I often use the term conscious parenting, because it's more about being self-aware and mindfulness. But essentially, it's gentle parenting. It's the same sort of, you know, aim out of it. But a lot of the time when you say, oh, you know, you're a gentle parent, and that's another reason I don't like saying gentle parent, is because I'm not a very gentle person. I'm not softly spoken. I'm not some sort of, you know, the Mary Poppins mother I thought I'd be. So with gentle parenting, you think sometimes that there's a pressure to, you know, say the right thing all the time and to always be calm and to never make any mistakes. But actually, it's not truly about that. It's actually quite good for your kids to see them, see you make mistakes, because, and then to take accountability for it, like you say, and apologise and to repair from whatever it is that you're feeling that you could have done better. Because one, it allows them to feel like everybody's human and you can make mistakes and that's okay, and that's, you know, you're allowed to be human, you're allowed to make mistakes. It stops them from trying to be a perfectionist a little bit. And also, if you then go to them after your mistake and say, oh man, do you know what, I messed up there, I'm really sorry, dude, then it also allows them to think that they can come to you, so that when they're older, here's the hope anyway, that when they're older and they've seen you modelling this behaviour of, I've made a mistake, I'll talk to her about it, I'll repair it, I'll take ownership, I'll move on, that it's, you know, beneficial, because then when they're older and they make a mistake, you know, oh, mum, I accidentally smoked a cigarette today. They can come and talk to you about it. Yeah, it fell into my hand and then just, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
But yeah, I totally agree with you about the gentle parenting thing. We went to Disneyland last year, and as you can imagine, Disneyland is a very overwhelming place for kids. All their dreams are coming true. There's busy crowds. There's lots of noise. It's very overstimulating. And they're getting, like, no sleep because they're up late watching the fireworks and then up early to go in the park. So, like, I had the chat with the family very early on, saying, like, you know, we're gentle parents, because I knew the tantrums were coming. And like, older generations don't really understand the whole gentle parenting thing, and the eye rolls that I got because the tantrums came, and it wasn't because they were trying to be naughty, it was because they were overstimulated, overwhelmed and absolutely knackered. And whilst everyone else was telling them off and telling them to, like, stop having a tantrum, stop having a meltdown, I was like, it's okay, it's okay. I know you're tired. I know you're overwhelmed. Like, come give me a cuddle. But it felt like I was like swimming upstream because it was just not working.
And how did the older generations take it that you were, you know, how did they take that chat?
It ended in arguments. Let's just put it that way.
No.
Because I really think that gentle parenting is such a new thing, and like the older generations, and like also my brother-in-law doesn't have kids.
I wouldn't say it's new, but it's definitely more common now than ever before. There's more awareness.
Yeah,
but we've got a lot more resources available for people who don't have kids.
Yeah, for people who don't have kids, they don't get it at all because like they just like, okay, that kid's crying and screaming, so they're naughty, and that's that. Like, so
yeah,
and that's how it is. It's very like black and white. Like, you've got your good kids and your bad kids, and or your good behavior, your bad behavior. There's no like struggling to figure out what's going on in their little brains. Bless them.
Yeah,
and like. It kept on being like you're four now, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, and it's like four
whilst not controlling
young.
Their own
like
chimp.
I'm 31 yeah. Yeah, I'm 31, I still can't control my brains out. A four-year-old, what?
Yes, there's so, high expectations, yeah, it's isn't
very
there for
difficult.
Children
yeah definitely.
But there's
it's really
there's
really
a book called Chimp Paradox by
I've read that book, I love it.
Have you? Professor Steve,
yeah.
Something? Peters. And I really
remember,
like that term.
It helps
so
with
I always say
eating disorders.
Oh, does it? Oh, I didn't know that. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when I've like, you know, messed up, or what I see as messed up in front of my kids or to my kids or whatever, the term I've started using, I went, oh, my inner chimp came out there, I'm sorry. Let's just put him back in his cage.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know. To try and remain the parent that I want to be, rather than the one that comes out sometime.
The whole chimp paradox thing with relation to eating disorders is all about like the fact that the inner chimp comes out as well and like takes control of the brain and like does what it wants, because it's all about like survival, and that's what your inner chimp is doing. But yeah, I think it's a great book for anyone to read to understand the primal brain and how it can take control of the rest of your brain in like little moments throughout the day, and you can just kind of feel yourself like snap out and then back in again. And it's once you know about the chimp paradox stuff, it kind of makes you reframe everything, really.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the more you're aware of actually how the brain works and what it's doing and everything that's going on up there, or even just a little bit more self-aware, the easier it is to try and handle things and to like make sense of it all a bit more.
Definitely. Yeah. And what kind of steps have you taken to improve your mental health? Like, you've spoken about some of them. Do you use your own journals? That's a question.
Yeah. So I've actually been writing journals for me and some friends on and off for the past like 11 years. And I've been doing it bespoke for them, depending on what they've said and stuff. Mm. And then, so I've been journaling for 11 years, making my own journals anyway. And and then I just thought, hold on, this is helping others, it helps me. I absolutely love it. It really makes such a difference to my mindset. And I just like writing as well. I like sitting there with a fancy pen and having a... I'm writing down, it's therapeutic in itself. So I just thought, why am I not doing something with this? Because I'm trying to do something on my own, like I'm trying to do something around the kids desperately, so that I can not have to worry about an employer telling me, you know, no, you can't go and pick your kid up from school because they're sick, because there's not anyone else that can do it. And I've had bad experiences that I've heard or been through myself with employers, and I never want anyone to be able to tell me that I can't, you know, prioritise my children. So I just thought, I just wanted to do something, and I really wanted to help other people, and especially mums, and because it's so hard, and it's just so, and parents, because it's just, no one could prepare you for it, and it just felt more aligned with what I want to achieve.
Yeah.
And I want to help people. And but also, I don't, it's not, you know, helping people is good for me as well. It's like, it's not selfless. I'm not, you know, oh, I'm helping other people. Like, it helps me.
Yeah.
You know. Definitely. And I love giving, like, so many people a voice as well.
Yeah.
Because there was a time that I would not have been brave enough to show up on social media, show my face on social media, let alone makeupless doing the stupid stuff that I do. I would not have been brave enough to come on here and talk to you. So I kind of really love being a voice for the people that aren't where I'm at yet.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to do something that aligned with what I'm into, my passions, helping others, and also that would hopefully give me a little bit more freedom from people telling me what to do.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? And this is what I talk about all the time, is like working.
I love it.
It makes me cross that mums have to work. It makes me so cross.
I know, because some of them go back so soon, don't they?
Yeah, like, but they have no choice. Like, it's, and the cost of living at the moment is ridiculous. So, and like, the amount of mums that I've had message me on social media because they don't want to go back to work, but they have no choice. And like,
yeah.
Oh, it's just, and like, my best friend's just had a baby. She's 3 weeks old, and already she's like, okay, what am I going to do for work? She hasn't got a job to go back to, but she's already thinking, like, what am I going to do? And I'm just like, oh my God, that baby's 3 weeks
old. Sometimes it just takes away your
experience.
Yeah, because it takes away, because you're so worried and got anxiety about work that,
it takes
away the enjoyment.
But it just, I wish there was more. I wish there was more for mums, like, to help them so that they could stay with their babies, or, like, not have to return to work. Like, this is why I do what I do, because I want to help mums to not have to go back to work, but it's not as simple as that. Like, it's not as simple as being just like, okay, cool, I'm not going back to work. Like, it's not.
That's the thing as well. I think when you say I'm not going back to work, people think that you're not going to work, but actually, it is still work. It's
not
just
do anything
in a different way. Yeah. I think often when people say,
because just little things like, I was going to miss my daughter's nativity at Christmas because I would have been at work. Thankfully, I managed to get someone to do my shift for me at like last minute. But I had so much resentment for my workplace
at that moment
because I was like, who are you to tell me that I can't see my kid's nativity play? My kid's first nativity play. Who do you think you are? And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I need to have my notice in because I can't be told, like, when I can spend time with my kids, when I can see, like, sports day, nativities, and if they're poorly. Like, Bailey was a poorly baby. He's been in hospital 9 times. He's been in an ambulance 5 times.
Gosh.
And I was off on carer's leave, like, every other week with him in his first year of life. And I felt so much guilt towards my work for that. But then I was like, actually, no, like, he's my baby. Why would I ever think that work should take priority over my baby? That's like, no, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I can understand entirely why mums want flexibility to be able to just be like, look, my kid's sick today, but it's cool because I work from home, so let's just snuggle on the sofa and I'll catch up when you're in bed. Like, that is the sort of flexibility us mums need.
Yeah. Or even being able to just whip out the laptop while they're sick next to you, you know,
if
it's not an emergency.
Yeah.
And being able to, it's
really, really tough, isn't it? But yeah, you're
but also
out there
something that, like, you're
mums.
Passionate about. Well, it sounds funny saying that because, I don't know, maybe it's imposter syndrome. That's what they call it, isn't it? It just, it all still feels just a bit like surreal, like,
I know what you mean. It's tough, isn't it, when you're like putting yourself out there to begin with. But your journal is honestly amazing. Do you actually want to like tell everyone a little bit about your journal and kind of what's in it, just in case anyone wants to buy one?
Yeah. It kind of starts off with a bit of sort of, well, I think if you've never done one before, it's going to feel a little bit odd because and really hard. So some of the messages I've had about the journal is that these questions are tough. And what I would say about the journal is it can be as tough as you want it to be. So I think if you're, you know, doing it and there's a question, your brain isn't in a good place. It might delve a bit deeper than it needs to for this journal. It's quite, some of them are really like, because they're for healing your inner child. And like there's questions in there to really make you assess where it might be coming from, who you are as a person, to try and, it's a bit like therapy, but in a book. So some of it's going to feel a bit uncomfortable because that's what therapy is. It's not easy, it's hard. It's hard to get there in the first place and then it's hard to go through it, but you feel great afterwards. And that's kind of what it is. It's making you delve in a little bit, to a little bit of uncomfortableness, to be able to come out the other side, if that makes sense. But some of the questions, I had feedback that it was too hard and it kind of just, they couldn't answer it because it was just too dark a place for them, if that makes sense. What I would say about this journal is to really strip it back, because it doesn't have to actually be that deep. When what they realised is that they were just looking too deep into it. So one of the questions in there, for example, is what do you forgive yourself for? Like, write yourself a letter of forgiveness. And immediately people are thinking of the worst thing that they've ever done. Do you know what I mean? But instead, this is more about like just something like, you know, I cooked the kids chicken nuggets for the third night in a row the other night. So actually it's just, I forgive myself and allow myself to have had that break of just cooking rubbish meals. Do you know what I mean? It's surface level. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be, it's your journal for your journey as much as you need to go into it or not. So you don't have to delve that deep, is what I would say. It's up to you how much you want to go in. So it's got all about self, you know, healing and that sort of thing. And then it moves on a bit more to sort of, you know, challenging your thoughts a bit more. It's got lots of CBT techniques in there on challenging your thoughts, making you think about reframing your, you know, any negativity and sort of freeing you of that. Looking at things, whether they're an opinion or a fact. And then it moves on to sort of gratitude, which is about obviously getting the joy into your life, the positive vibes.
Yeah.
And then it will move into manifestation, which is about creating the life that you want and focusing on the future. So it really has got every single part of past, present and future. The past is the hard stuff to push through so that you can even focus on the present. And the present is about really just being grateful and in a state of peace with what you have, that you don't actually need anything else to make you happy. And then it moves on to the future, which is about, you know, moving forward. So yeah, and then at the end, it kind of, at the end of the journal, so there's this guided journal for however many pages, and then towards the end, it kind of wraps it up and finishes with the odd prompt after that. But it lets you then write your own journal sort of thing, because what works for someone might not work for someone else. So for example, the people that are saying that write yourself a letter of forgiveness thing just took me to a dark place, so that's not working for them, so they can scrap that. It's not going to prompt them for that again. They can make their own journal after that, basically. So it's lots and lots of prompts from different stages, and then at the end it's just a few prompts and some blank pages and some, you know, inspirational quotes and stuff to help them spread their journal wings, basically, and find what works for them, because it's not a one size fits all. It's about what works for them, what didn't, and they can just move forward with that. So
amazing, I love that. And where can people get it from?
So it's on Amazon. They can buy it from Amazon. I've actually just found out tonight before I came on that it's going to be stocked in my local bookshop. So I'm well chuffed about that.
Yeah, so they can get it from, so cool.
Yeah, they can get it from Malden Books, Malden Bookshop in our town.
Yeah.
And if you're someone in Ireland said that they couldn't get hold of it on Amazon, so I've also put it on Etsy so that they could buy it and I could send it to them. Yeah, so it's there
Amazing.
As well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been really lovely You're talking welcome. To you, and thank you for thank you. Being so open with everything about your mental health. Could you finish
and
by
you?
Letting everyone know where they can find you on the socials?
Yes, of course. So I'm at Mummy's Mental on everything. Instagram, mainly Instagram and TikTok. I love Instagram. I love TikTok.
Yeah.
I try Facebook, but I'm not very good on the Facebook.
Yeah.
What else is there? Not on Pinterest. LinkedIn. I'm a Sky Edwards on LinkedIn.
Lovely. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I will speak to you soon. Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.